Are we going? We're going.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Queensland Live podcast number, can't remember. Told you it was laid back. This is Michelle Jospy from Queensland Nutrition, and we are looking at winter wellness podcast number 2. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Michelle, do you want to talk to me a little bit about you, your business? So explain Queensland Nutrition for a start off.
Sure. So I'm a registered dietitian, and I guess I can start with the difference maybe between a dietitian and a nutritionist, because a lot of people are quite confused about this.
Yeah.
So I'm borrowing this from a comedian whose name I forget. But basically, a dietitian is like a dentist in that it's a registered term, so you know that they have good training and stuff like that. Whereas a nutritionist is like a toothologist who can be excellent. You can see really good nutritionists, or not, because it's not registered. So you just have to be a little bit wary. Anyway, so I'm a registered dietitian, and I got really excited about research unexpectedly. So I'm in the middle of finishing up a PhD looking at weight loss. But it's great to be able to use all the research that I look at all day about kind of the best things to eat for health and weight loss and sports, and be able to kind of provide that to people who are interested in improving their health right away without kind of waiting for research studies to come out and that kind of thing.
So I'm hearing you're not from here.
I am not from here.
Do you want to explain? I love finding out about why people end up here. So tell me a little bit about that.
I'm originally from Montreal, Canada, from the English part, not the French.
Yeah.
and then I... Oh, this could be a long story.
That's all right. We've got
time. I studied graphic design in Halifax, which is on the east coast of Canada. Then went and worked in Texas, in Austin, as a graphic designer. Discovered I hated working in an office.
Fair enough.
Took a year off, went rock climbing in Asia, met my now husband, Paul, in China in the first week of the trip. We rock climbed through Asia for 6 months, and then climbed in North America, living in a van for 6 months. And then both of us decided to go back to uni and retrain. He used to be an accountant, and now he's a physio, and I decided to study nutrition. So we went to Dunedin, which was kind of the best place for both of us.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's one of those decisions that you can kind of only make while traveling.
Yeah, absolutely. And that draw towards nutrition, where did that come from?
I've always been really interested in nutrition and sports. And I don't know why I didn't study it in the first place.
Yeah, we could all ask that right now.
But I think the moment was lying in a hammock in India, actually, with fever. And I thought, oh, if I could do it all again, I'd really like to study nutrition.
Yeah.
I really like working with people, and I really like food, and kind of finding practical ways of eating better. It doesn't have to be making these really fancy recipes, but just knowing what bread to choose in the supermarket and that kind of thing is pretty exciting.
So I talk a lot about winter for me is a tough time, and I'm sure a lot of people out there kind of go through the same thing around my training falls away, my eating falls away. For the first year, because Queenstown winters are difficult because of, the heating and houses and all that kind of stuff. But for the first time in 10 years, I've kind of gone, do you know what? I'm just going to let my body do what it needs to do in winter. And I'm going to stop trying to force myself to go out running when it's minus 10 outside, and stay by the fire if I need to, and eat the food that my body's telling me it wants, and try and do some good stuff for myself. But actually just... because I know once spring comes around, I'll pick it up again. It will happen.
Yeah.
Get back on my bike and the eating will get better. And I think... for the first winter, I've actually stopped beating myself up about trying really hard to do stuff and then hating it.
And I think that's really important. I mean, it's important to take it easy and feel good about what you're doing rather than constantly feeling guilty or that you should be doing something different than what you're doing. And
because what is our body doing during wintertime?
Well, there's a few effects, I guess. There's less sunlight.
Yeah.
And so that makes you want to sleep more. Yeah. And down here, we don't actually get any UVB rays, which helps us produce vitamin D. So we all get a bit deficient in vitamin D, which isn't that useful. It's kind of new research on vitamin D and mood and that kind of thing. So that's generally the only supplement I take is vitamin D, which may help with mood.
Yeah.
What else? I guess you're cold.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the craving to eat more. If you are really cold, you're burning more energy just shivering.
So I can eat more potatoes just because
I'm
shivering.
Definitely. More kumara. Kumara is good for everything.
Don't put the heat on. Just be cold and eat more potatoes.
But I think it's good. I think it's really important not to feel guilty. I think with food, I come across a lot of people who struggle with kind of emotional eating. And it's so sad when I hear about, it's often women, unfortunately, that can't not eat chocolate. But then when they eat it so quickly and they feel so badly that they're not actually enjoying it.
No.
And it's fine to have some chocolate. Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Because we are taught the whole bad, good food thing from being very little, you know, and treats and all that kind of stuff. And I know my sister's never, one thing she said to her daughter was, I'm never going to teach her the difference between bad and good foods.
Mm.
Good foods in the fact that, you know, vegetables and fruit vegetables, and she eats really well. But if she wants chocolate at some point, she can have it.
Yeah.
So now she never really goes and binges on that stuff. It's just a normal food.
Mm. It's a tough, there are some people pushing to call it kind of everyday food and sometimes foods and this kind of thing. And I think just taking away that moral implication about food is good, but it's hard to, I struggle coming up with kind of the vocabulary to talk about it. There's kind of better choices and less better choices, but even if you're eating chocolate, enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, it's still fine.
So how does I really try and eat food that I know is seasonal, because I feel really bad about eating, you know, blueberries in the middle of winter when I know that blueberries aren't on the trees. Living in New Zealand, what should we be filling our trolleys with now?
Well, we're quite lucky here in a way that food
or
that's
trundlers.
Not...
People don't know what a trolley is. Trundler.
I would call it trolley as well. I think in a way we're lucky here because the price kind of indicates what's in season anyway, so you can't really buy blueberries. I guess you can buy frozen ones. So everything that's kind of available and cheap right now. So things like pumpkin is really good, and people who are trying to watch their weight or their carb intake, pumpkin's a really good food because it feels really kind of filling, but it's lots of vitamins and minerals and not much carbohydrates. Kumara's great. Potatoes... okay, especially if you eat the skin, that's where kind of all the nutrients are. Cabbage is awesome if you don't get too sick of it. What else? And then things like turning those things into things like soup is really, really good for the winter. Just any of the root vegetables that you can find, and then leafy greens that survive, so things like kale and silver beet. And
so if there was five things that you'd put in your trolley, surrounded by potatoes and crisps and cakes, what would be five things?
I just went grocery shopping. I always buy eggs.
Yes.
Really easy source of amazing protein. Eggs are actually what protein is measured against, like how complete a protein is compared to an egg.
I learned something new.
And eggs make a chicken, so it must have everything.
It must have everything.
What else do I always buy? Oats, probably. Yep. Chickpeas or lentils, something like that. Not vegetarian, but I don't eat that much meat. I love apples, and right now they're really good. And I have one more. I probably should get a vegetable.
You probably should get a vegetable. Yes, and mandarins at the minute are just amazing, and they remind me of Christmas, so that's why I eat them all the time.
They taste
like Christmas. Okay. So when we look at kind of food and mind health, is that something that you're interested in?
I'm interested in it. I guess I come to it kind of more from my research is really looking at behavioral strategies, which will help people stick to the diet and exercise that they want to follow. Rather than there is also a connection between what you eat affecting your mood. And they think it might even be through your gut bacteria, but that's kind of beyond my expertise. So I kind of look at the reverse of what behaviors are helpful in kind of staying on track.
Okay. So do you want to talk a little bit about your research?
Sure. So some behaviors that we're investigating are things like, actually what I'm looking at today, is if you weighed yourself every single morning,
yeah,
is that helpful for weight loss? And does it have any negative or positive psychological effect?
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting because it seems, preliminarily, the research, that it doesn't seem to have a negative effect, whereas people think, oh, that would be terrible weighing myself every day. But we'll talk to our participants once they're done doing this for a year or two. But I think it becomes that the numbers don't mean that much, yep, but it kind of keeps you on track because it's a reminder every day of, oh yeah, I'm, you know, trying to take care of myself. So that's one thing we're looking at. And it's quite an easy, you know, it takes 10 seconds to step on a scale.
Yeah.
Another thing that we're doing is I'm taking people through this thing called hunger training, which everyone associates with the Hunger Games.
Oh, nice. Am I going to look like her at the end of it?
Yes.
That's all I want to know.
And the guys too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So with hunger training, it's kind of an intense few weeks where people really become aware of their appetite and are supposed to only eat when they're hungry rather, yep, than when they're bored or when they're upset or when they're just because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So that's been really interesting. That's probably the most novel one for people. So in our study, we'll see if that kind of helps them at losing weight at 1 year.
Because hunger is an interesting one because is hunger, because you know that the type of hunger where you feel sick because you've been, you know, you've missed breakfast and then you've worked all morning and then all of a sudden you're like, I feel really sick, I need to eat.
Yeah.
But then there's also the growly tummy reminding you, but actually you could carry on, you know, you could carry on and not eat anything, and then the one previously where you I actually need to physically put something in my mouth right now, otherwise I'm gonna throw up.
Yeah, the growly tummy one is probably useful to stop that first one.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of people who haven't felt hungry in years. They can't actually remember the last time they felt
because
hungry.
They've just constantly been eating.
Yeah, because I think people are told, oh, eat like 6 small meals a day.
Yep.
And so it's this constant grazing. And it's really interesting because everyone seems to be quite different, whereas some people say, I actually just need to eat twice a day. And I have hated eating breakfast for the past 40 years and have made myself eat breakfast, but actually I don't need it and I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I'm happier because, yeah, I'm not forcing, yeah, myself, yeah, to eat breakfast. So, and then other people say, no, I do need to eat 6 times a day.
Yeah.
And I think people really like the hunger training because I tell them that they can ignore everything that everyone's been telling,
yep,
them,
yep,
and just listen to their bodies, and it's kind of liberating.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I remember my mum never ate breakfast, and you know, and she always used to drum it into us, you've got to eat breakfast, and we were like, yeah, but you don't. So why would we do something that, and I always eat breakfast because as soon as I wake up I'm like, I want something nice in my tummy. But my sister was the same. She was like, nah, totally not interested in breakfast.
Yeah, and it's fine. I think breakfast tends to be quite healthy.
Yeah.
So as long as your next meal or your first meal, I guess I should say, isn't kind of a slice at morning tea, yep, instead of breakfast. So, yep, if you eat something at 11 or if you wait till lunch, I think that's fine. There's a lot of new research coming out about,
yep,
breakfast,
I'm sure,
showing that it's not as important as we thought. It's just another,
yeah,
meal. But it depends on what you're doing instead of eating breakfast, I guess, as your first meal.
Okay. So if I came to see you, what would the process be?
So a lot of people are quite scared to see a dietitian.
I'm sure. Because they'll be like, what have you been eating? And you say,
yeah,
cakes. Like breakfast, dinner and tea.
Yeah, they think they're going to get in trouble. But actually, I don't think anyone's ever gotten in trouble,
no,
with me. So what happens is the first session is usually about an hour. Because it's figuring out what your goals are, kind of what your priorities are, where you're coming from, kind of what your food history is,
yeah,
I guess, and then what you eat every day, and things like exercise and medical history and family history and that kind of thing, because it's really about finding something that's going to work for you.
Yeah.
So if I just had this like one size fits all and you had 5 kids and,
yeah,
a busy,
yeah,
job, that's not,
yeah,
going,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
work.
Yeah.
So it's really a session to kind of get on the same page and then probably walk away with a few goals to work on for the next time, depending what you're coming to see me for. If say, on another hand, you were running the Queenstown Marathon, it would be a similar kind of one-hour chat, but you might walk away with something quite clear to try around training,
yeah,
in terms of food. And then for some people, it's just that one-hour session is enough. And other people like to come back for kind of just a half an hour follow-up to say, oh, I ate this before my run and it was awesome and blah, blah, but I'm actually need something else there.
Yeah.
And just kind of perfect it, say, before the race.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then go from there.
And what trends are you generally seeing around? Are trends, I suppose trends is the wrong word, but I guess, are people still struggling with the same things they've been struggling with for the past 10 years? You know, like eating too much rubbish, feeling bad about it, getting on a diet. And I know the whole diet thing's gone out the window. You don't really say you're on a diet anymore. You're trying to be healthy, you know, you're trying to eat well or...
There's still, I think the diets are trendy. So right now the 5-2 diet is pretty trendy. So... I think the style of diet changes. I think generally, with the exception of sports nutrition, I think in terms of healthy eating, people generally know what to do, but it's the why. And I think that kind of is different for everyone. But that's kind of the big thing, I guess, that you see over and over is that kind of looking at those barriers and kind of making a plan to address that.
Yeah.
Whereas sports nutrition does, change because that research keeps coming out of what to do.
Yeah, yeah. If I gave you a brand new baby in a family, and they were, you know, they were rearing this baby with, in the best way they could, what would be things you would tell new families about how to teach kids about food?
This is totally outside my realm. I try and stick with adults. Yeah.
But any good tips for just having kids around to eat well? Because, you know, there's the whole thing about, oh, make food look interesting, hide foods that you want them to eat, make them look like something else. Any tips? Michelle's going, I hate you. I don't like this question.
I'm actually, the study in Dunedin, we're sharing the office with it's called the Bliss Study, and it's looking at baby-led weaning, so babies feeding themselves and seeing if that's better than the whole kind of airplane pureed food. But the results aren't out yet, so I'm not sure which one's better. I don't feel qualified to comment
that's
on
that. That's all right. That's all good.
Let's stick to adults.
Okay, we'll do that. One food that you could get rid of in the world forever, like what would you just love to see gone?
Probably soft drinks or soda or whatever you call it here, like Coke.
Yeah,
would be great.
Because it's pointless.
It's pointless. It's unsustainable in terms of all the rubbish it creates. There's something about sugary drinks that's way worse than sugary food.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, they did a study with, I can't remember, something like Coke and jelly beans. And when people ate jelly beans, they compensated by eating less throughout the day, whereas with sugary drinks you don't compensate at all, so your body doesn't even register that you've had any extra calories.
And that's true, I suppose. I wouldn't drink a drink and then go, oh, I better not have that cake later on because I've had a drink.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'd had a cake in the morning, I would go, oh, I'd better eat some vegetables for my dinner.
Yeah, cake for breakfast.
Yeah, psychologically.
Yeah.
Totally get that.
Yeah, and then there's also the, you know, effect of rotting your teeth and that kind of thing. So, yeah, that would probably be my top pick.
Okay. I was going to ask you some really hard questions about where food comes from, but I'm going to be nice and not do that.
Okay.
I'm joking. So, for you, salty or sweet?
Salty.
And one food that you, if you had to eat one food from a country for the rest of your life, what would it be?
So picking the country?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably quite a common response, but Thailand.
Yes, fair enough. Mountains or sea?
Mountains, for sure.
Okay. Brittany or Christina?
Neither.
You got a big one.
Brittany.
Okay, fair enough. One album that you had to listen to for the rest of your life?
Ooh, I don't know. I have to think about
that one. One place that you'd like to climb that you've never climbed?
I quite like to go to Spain for everything, and the rock climbing is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil would be also quite cool. Yeah,
Spain's amazing. So do you want to just tell me about your handles? So your website is?
My website is queenstownnutrition.com.
Yep.
And Facebook page is the same, Queenstown Nutrition.
Yep.
Yeah.
And basically, just go through the website, give you a ring, And where do you see people?
Yeah, so I have a room at Queenstown Physio, which is above Queenstown Medical Center, just under the gondola. So they capture all the broken mountain bikers as they come down the hill. Yeah. So I'm based there.
Okay. And then finally, any tips heading into spring? I'm saying it's spring because I've seen daffodils in some places. So any tips around food heading into spring? Like what's new for spring? What comes out in spring?
The first thing I think is asparagus.
Yeah.
And strawberries.
Yes.
Oh, strawberries maybe a little bit later.
Yeah.
But there's always a bit of a lag, eh? It's warm out, but you don't have any fresh veg. But I guess just enjoy the food as it kind of appears and find new ways to experiment with veggies and fruit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michelle.
Cool.
We'll speak to you soon.